Well, welcome. Well done. You've made it this morning. It's been a pretty busy week for me. Don't know about you, and the weather's not helped me with outside jobs, and it's not helped me in lots of ways getting my notes together. I usually do printed notes, but I've had to handwrite them because my printer broke down, and all those kind of things that irritate us and frustrate us, and what's going on here. And I came to a little bit of a thought that actually we have an enemy who really doesn't want us to hear the message about Jesus. He really doesn't want us to know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He doesn't mind so much if we think of Jesus as meek and lowly and sort of weak. But the idea that actually Jesus is the ultimate power and authority, that frightens him to death. So well done. You're here this morning. You've come to a place where I want you to hear what Jesus has to say. Not what I have to say, but I want you to hear what Jesus has to say. So let me just pray a minute. Lord, I love it where on the Emmaus Road, those two despondent disciples were walking away and lost hope. And then you joined them and you shared the scriptures with them. And they said afterwards, did not our hearts burn within us as we listened? And I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that my words would fall to the ground. But I pray that your words will remain in our hearts now and forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read a proclamation, a prophecy, just to kind of set the stall. Interesting week about governance, isn't it? And authority. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I'll make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery." And verse 6, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill." God has installed his king, and his name is Jesus. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate asked this very pertinent question, "Are you a king then?" Because that's what the Jews were accusing him of. "Are you a king?" And Jesus made this reply, "For this reason I came into the world." And he went on to say something else, but I just want to pause there. Jesus never denied it. If there was a time to say, no, you've got it wrong, because he was proclaiming himself Messiah to the Jews and king, that was why they executed him on the cross. But Jesus made a clear confession before Pontius Pilate, "For this reason I came into the world." He is the king. Jesus is the king long promised in Old Testament scripture, the true king of the Jews. The reign of the promised king was to be a time of great peace. He was the king of promise and the king of peace. And this king of promise and king of peace would not conquer by force of arms, but by the power of love. Jesus is the king of promise. Jesus is the king of peace. And Jesus is the king of love. I love the simple hymn based on Psalm 23. "The king of love, my shepherd is. His goodness faileth never." So it was the king of promise. He was promised to King David long, long ago, centuries back, where after that Saul was taken off the throne and David was the king established by God, and God promised David that his line would continue forever. How does Charles III become king? Did we vote him in? Thankfully not. He became the king because his mother was the queen, and so on and so on and so on. The kingship of Jesus was established through the line of David. That is why Matthew goes to great lengths in his first chapter, which most of us will skip through. All these names you can't even pronounce, which seemed so unimportant to us, were so important to the Jews, because it was Matthew's way of saying, Jesus is of the line of David. He is the true king of the Jews. He is their King Charles. He wasn't voted in. He came because he was born to be the king. So the three kings came. They weren't kings really, but we'll call them kings for now. And they said to Herod, where is the one born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, why was Herod so frightened by that? Because Herod was a usurper. He had no royal lineage. He just got there by force of arms and by craftiness and corruption. And Herod wanted no other king but himself. It's interesting that the three kings came from the east, and I was just recently reading about an interesting man named Balaam in the Old Testament, famously known for talking to a donkey. But before he talked to a donkey, after he talked to the donkey, he gave this prophetic word about a star would rise. Isn't that interesting? He came from the east himself, and he talked about this star would rise from Israel, who would be the king. And I think that very much ties in. Jesus was the king of promise. Jesus was the king of peace. And this is where I'm going to get my Bible out. I'm sorry it's so scruffy, but I love this translation. It's the old NIV. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Handel made a very good job of this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. I never fail to get excited by that. I just love that. I love to watch Handel's Messiah. I love to listen to it. But that fact is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When the angels announced it to the shepherds, they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Johnny Mattis has this song at Christmas about a child, and he's singing about any child. But no, Jesus is not just any child. He is the child, born to be the king, born to be the Prince of Peace. In Zechariah 9, verse 9, Zechariah prophesies that Jesus would ride on a donkey. See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. Jesus didn't come to be king by force. He came to bring peace. Where's my little book? Here we are. So this is the book we're doing our series on, Amazed by Jesus. And Simon Ponsonby tells us a little bit about Alexander the Great. And he draws a contrast between Jesus riding to Jerusalem on the donkey and Alexander riding into India as a conqueror. Alexander the Great is said to have entered India in a grand procession of 200 painted war elephants, 200 painted camels, 200 soldiers riding black horses backwards, led in the golden throne hoisted on an ivory chariot sat Alexander, followed by 200 tame lions, and heralds marching and proclaiming, I am the Lord of the universe. I conquered the world. Now I will conquer the stars. Wow. He had quite a bit of an ego, I think, Alexander. And Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey because he came as the Prince of Peace. And he brings peace. And this, in my heart, I love this. I'm going off peace. Simon doesn't touch this at all. But Jesus is the King of Love. This really is in my heart. The prophetic word in the Old Testament is not so strong on this. 2 Samuel 7, when God promises David about his line for the future, and he talks about David's son, and he says, my love will never be taken away from him like it was Saul. So Jesus has this promise that God establishes this, David has the promise that God will establish love, and Solomon was the immediate son of David who brought peace, and he established a reign of peace in Israel, which was never repeated. It was an amazing time. And that was a type of the fact when Jesus came, he was David's greatest son. God so loved the world that he gave. 1 John 4, verse 9, 16. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Colin asked this question few months ago, what is love? And he was referring to 1 Corinthians 13, but it struck me, what is love? Patience is love, but what is love? What is it? So I thought about this, and this is my little definition. It can be many definitions, but love is our God-given passion within for relational connection. Love is my God-given passion within for relational connection. God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus. When Jesus replied to Pilate, for this reason, are you a king? And Jesus said, for this reason I came into the world. And he says, all who are on the side of truth, listen to my voice. God doesn't want to persuade our heads. He wants to be the king of our hearts. Jesus didn't come to give an intellectual argument for God. He came to demonstrate the love of God, and he did it through the cross. In the hub a few weeks ago, they was asking us what some of our experiences of the Holy Spirit. And this one came to me out of the blue, and it stuck with me since. When I was a young Christian, being my late teens, and I'd been baptized, I made a decision to follow Jesus, and I worked as a post office engineer amongst the most ungodly men you can imagine. And I found it really a struggle to be a Christian, to be honest. And I used to get home at night and pray. I was too tired in the morning to pray. I was too tired at night to pray. So the only time I could think to pray was when I got home from work, and I used to go and pray. And I struggled intellectually with the idea that there was a God. I really did. What's it all about? Nobody else believes this. Why should I believe this? And I made a decision one day not to believe in God anymore. It was a strange thing to do, but that's it. I'm not going to believe in God. Why should I be different to the other guys? And I went, it made absolutely no difference to the day. It really didn't. I went through the day just going through my usual stuff, doing electrics, and then came home in the evening. And I was in the habit of going up to my bedroom to pray. And I thought, okay, I'll give it a go. What's the best decision I ever made? I just went up to my bedroom and I knelt beside my bed. And this is what I prayed. I said, God, I don't even know if you're there. I do know this. Jesus was amazing. And if there really was a Jesus, and he really loved me that much to die on the cross for me, then I love him for that. Amen. And I was about to get up when it was just like, God, just fill me with his Holy Spirit. It was something I'll never forget. It was just instantly, the presence of God in my heart was overwhelming. And I've never forgotten it, you can tell. It just so moved me. And from that time on, I've always made that confession. I don't understand a lot of things, but I do know Jesus really is amazing. And I do know he is the King of love, my shepherd. And God wants us to listen to him in our hearts. Love is our God-given passion for relational connection. You think about that. You give me a better definition, I'm happy for it, but just think about that one. Everyone on the side of truth, Jesus said, listens to my voice. One day Jesus will return in power. In Revelation 19, verse 16, he says, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written within, written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I invite the band to come up and play. I just want to finish with this little thought. I was struggling thinking through these things in the night on a Thursday night when yet again I hadn't had time to get notes down, thinking, oh, I know I want to get this word across, Lord. And whilst I was having not such a good night's sleep, in the morning Jackie said to me, I've been prophesying all night. She said just quietly, she's been exalting the name of Jesus. And that just blew me away. It just blew me away because it was like, that's what it's all about. It's just, you know, we're trying to work things out in our brains, but actually it's just, the Spirit of God was encouraging, just keep worshipping Jesus. Keep focused on Jesus. He is the King and he loves us immensely and we have a safe future with him. So let's worship the King together, shall we? Shall we stand?